Thank you, Brother Parrish, and praise the Lord, everybody. How many is excited about camp meeting? What an awesome day. What an awesome week this is going to be, and I want to give special honor to your superintendent, Brother Parrish, and Brother Bradbury. What an awesome team you have here in Alaska. Give them a round of applause. And Brother Churchill picked me up in the wee hours of the morning this morning, and was such an honor to see him again. And Jimmy Blackshear served together on the as youth presidents on the General Youth Board, and what an honor it is to see you. Appreciate you so much. And we've got the greatest camp evangelist that's going to be preaching for us tonight, Brother Anthony Mangan. Such an honor to have him. Well, I want to talk to you just for a few moments. I felt in prayer this morning to kind of go down this direction and tell you where I came from. My name is Nathan Scoggins, and I'm from Texas, and was real disappointed when I finally arrived in Alaska. I have been totally deceived all my life. They told me that everything was bigger in Texas, and you've got more land than we ever thought about, and I've never had 12 mosquitoes land on one ear at one time. So I guarantee you, it's an honor to be with you, though. And when I was 15 years of age, my mother and my stepdad were both alcoholics, and my mother had been raised in church, and her pastor was Brother James Kilgore in Paris, Texas. And as a teenager, my mother never chose to really live for God, and that's a shame. And she had every opportunity to. And she chose to go that trail, that hard life of being a backslider. Very, very difficult. And when I was 15 years of age, we were living in Lafayette, Louisiana. And my mother was so drunk that night that she could barely walk. And she said, "You need God in your life." And so I thought to myself, that's two of us that need God in our life. But my mother took me that night, and it was totally amazing. The power of God was there, except it scared me to death. I had never in my life seen such a demonstration of anything like that. Never really witnessed that kind of outward emotion or expression. So I told my mother, I said, "These people are crazy. You got to get me out of here." So we left, and 6 weeks later, more drunk than the time before, my mother said, "You need to go back." And this time my drunk stepfather went with me. And they had been fasting and praying, and they were on their seventh day of a water fast, and I would be one of 12 that would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night. One of 12. So I have a debt to that church in Lafayette that Brother C.E. Cooley was the pastor of, and I have a debt to the United Pentecostal Church and to saints that are willing to fast and pray on behalf of revival. Forever indebted. And that began my journey of living for God. And 1 month later, we transferred to Odessa, Texas. And I had the privilege of being under the ministry of J.T. Pugh, one of the greatest men that ever preached this gospel. And if I could just talk a little bit about Brother Pugh, we knew that he was a great camp meeting speaker. He a great dynamic preacher. He was in leadership in our movement on every level. But what you may not have known is that every Sunday afternoon, now that was after he would prepare intensely prepare for his messages. And he would always bring camp meeting type material to the pulpit. on Sunday morning. And he would actually preach and teach twice on Sunday. And then at 5 o'clock, he would make a statement like this: everybody that is interested in advancing your ministry and doing the work of ministry, I want you to meet me at 5 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock every Sunday afternoon, ever how many people wanted to be involved in ministry would meet him. And I remember as a new convert, not only the powerful impact that sermons like Your First Night in Hell, as he rolled across my feet, and never felt the impact of conviction like that before. But in those meetings, he would come by and he would make statements like this: some of you gathered here today will out-preach me. You will out-pray me. You will go farther than I have ever gone. You will do more than I have ever done. And he would take his hand. Sometimes there would be 30. Sometimes there would be 50. Sometimes there would be 3. And he would say, God has a purpose in your life. And you cannot be bound by your past. He said, you must be driven by your future. Your future has got to drive you and push you and propel you into doing something great and being something great. And the spirit of affirmation and believing in people, I never got away from that. In fact, years later, we moved back to Lafayette, Louisiana, and I could still hear that voice. God wants to use you. He wants to do something supernatural in your life. He has called you to be something great in Him, and this is your hour and this is your opportunity. And I never got away from that. It was in that time period that Sister Pugh showed real Christianity as the pastor's wife. And I'll never forget my mother in her backslidden state. She went to her and said, honey, would you come and help make peanut brittle at the church? And I'd love for you to come. My mother's hair was dyed red and cut shorter than mine here this morning. And she stopped by the store on the way to pick up my mother and got a blue ashtray and a paper bag. And she came and picked my mother up, got a little bottle of air freshener, and said, Iva, I know you have an addiction. You're a smoker. And if you need to smoke, you can smoke here. She said, Sister Pugh, I can never smoke in this car. She said, honey, you have an addiction, and this is just a car. And then she said later, my mom relayed to me that they went to the church and had been working for about 3 hours making peanut brittle. Sister Pugh went and got that brown paper bag and brought it back and said, honey, here's the ashtray. I know that you have an addiction, and you can smoke if you need to. And my mother said, Sister Pugh, I could never smoke in this church parking lot. She said, honey, this is just a parking lot. This is just a parking lot. Then they went to Brother and Sister Pugh's home, and just outside there was a porch and a fan, a ceiling fan. And she went to the car and got that ashtray in that brown paper bag. My mom said when she handed her that ashtray that my mother's hands began to tremble. She said for the next 10 years, every time, and she refused and said, I can never smoke here. But she said for the next 10 years, every time she got drunk, she could see that blue ashtray and hear the voice of Sister Pugh saying, but honey, you have an addiction. The Lord spoke to her one particular night and said, Iva, if you go to hell, it's going to be because you would not the love and the mercy and the grace that I have shown you through my people and people that really love me. I'll never forget the night I went later and went to preach, actually to be the youth pastor for Orland Ray Foss. And my mother called me 10 years later And she said, honey, I'm about to take my life. And I said, Mom, before you take your life, would you consider going back to church one more time? She went back to that same church in Lafayette. And she said when she walked in the door, they were playing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. My mother prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and is living for God today. I felt a follow me from the Holy Ghost today. I feel like telling some of you that it doesn't matter how distant your mom and dad may seem right now or your lost loved ones, I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost that God has seen your fasting and your prayer and your sacrifice, and God will bring them in the process of time. My mother is living with me right now, and you would never believe the impact that she has made. Shortly after that, her fear of going to church was that my stepdad never would go. And after about 6 months of my mother going to church, he said, Iva, are you going to go to that Pentecostal church by yourself and not invite me? And she said, would you go? He said, absolutely, I'll go. And there's only one catch. She said, what's that? He said, I don't want one man hugging me, and I don't want one man kissing me. But after he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he hugged every man in the building. Six months later, he died, but he died in the faith. He died in the faith. I feel that same spirit here today, and I feel to tell you that God has seen your prayer, and he has seen your sacrifice, and it won't be long until you'll see the miracle come to pass. I believe that. God is in the restoration business, isn't he? Why don't we just lift our hands and thank him for that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I went back to Lafayette, Louisiana, and became operations manager for a oil field service company. Started out working offshore and then became the manager at just a young age, and they transferred us to Houston, Texas. And we ended up going to Brother O.R. Foss's church, and one of the greatest preachers in our movement, and certainly one of the greatest conviction preachers of all time. And the reason why I wasn't able to meet the board last night is because of the passing of Brother Foss. But it's very unique. When I arrived there, you talk about ministry calling and how God can use a shepherd to confirm that calling. I'd like to just relay that to you for a moment. But I had been at Bethel for probably 6 months, and had to go to Laredo on a business call. And when I got in the vehicle, our company vehicle, I began to weep and wept from Houston all the way to Laredo, and then wept all the way back when I started back. And I called Brother Foss, and I said, Brother Foss, something unique is happening in my life. I said, I have put my career first, and my wife and I are happy living in Kingwood, and we're loving the experience of Houston, but I feel that God is calling me to preach. When I told him that, he said, honey, I've been waiting on you to come. And God has a work for you to do. And I want to tell you, those of you who are here today and you are feeling that touch and that pull and that call from God, this is the last and the final hour. And God is not calling less. He's about to call more than we have ever seen in our movement. And so Brother Foss said, well, I said, what does the future look like for me? How will I know when I need to go into full-time ministry? And he said, well, you'll know that it's time to go into full-time ministry when they cut your pay 21%. Now, he didn't say 5%. He didn't say 10%. Brother Churchill, he didn't say 25%. He said 21%. So when I walked in to National Tubular Corp the next day, the executive vice president of the company said, Nathan, come in here. I need to talk to you. He said, we're going to have to cut back. And he said, I want you to bring in all the torque turn computer hands, all of the machine shop hands, all the testing hands, bring them all in here. And there's going to be a 21% pay cut across the board. And so I told the executive vice president of the company, I said, that poses a great problem. I said, God's just used you to confirm that I'm going into full-time ministry. So I gave my two-week notice. When I called Brother Foss, Brother Mangan, and told him, I said, I just gave my two-week notice. He said, you did what? I said, they just cut my pay 21%. And I said, that's the sign we were looking for, right? And 2 weeks later, I was living behind the church in a trailer, working full-time as a youth pastor for Orlin Ray Foss. And it was the greatest 5 years of my life. And I'll never forget the impact of a man who believed in me and believed in me when I could not believe in myself. There's a scripture in the book of Jeremiah that says, I'm going to give you shepherds that are going to feed you, and they're going to be shepherds after my own heart. And they're going to feed you, and they're going to take care of you, and they're going to be able to know what your needs are. Aren't you thankful for a man of God in your life that you can be on? I made up my mind, whatever needed to be done, if it was mowing the grass or cleaning the toilets or whatever job he needed to be done, nothing was too hard or too great. And so I thrust myself in being willing to do anything that man of God wanted me to do. And we are in a very critical place in the United Pentecostal Church. We have over 9,000 ministers in our movement right now. And we have 5.9% under the age of 30. 5.9% under the age of 30. The Lord in His ministry said, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. But here's what I want to clarify, because when I got there and I started serving, I told the Lord, I said, God, I will never leave this man. He'll have to send me. I will never leave this man. He'll have to send me. I told the Lord, I am at the mercy of the shepherd that you have put over me. And so I began to establish a relationship with that man of God that, when I tell you, when Brother Foss the other day, I got to see him take his last breath. And I cannot tell you the impact that it had made when I saw such a mighty man of God slip out of this world into another world. We were singing, What a Day That Will Be, When My Jesus I Shall See. And the power of God moved in that room, and then He was gone. And I began to think of all of the sermons that I'd heard, like A Day in the Potter's House, The Making of a Bride, Worthy of the Ephod, all of those sermons that he preached while I was there. And I was in need. My wife and I were in need of repair when we arrived there. We needed help. We needed restoration. We needed love. But as we began to grow and mature, suddenly there was a fire that was burning. And our shepherd acknowledged that this man has a call to preach. And he came and affirmed that call. And he said, God is going to use you like you have never been used before. I'd like to say this if I could. I want to be careful how I do say it. But Gary Sustiak, in his book Next Generation, he said that because of the dysfunction of those who were born from 1960 to 1980 and their offsprings after those years, all of the dysfunction that occurred in that time period when children were not wanted, he said it left that generation and their offspring with low self-esteem and poor self-image. So if you take and try to discourage the call of God out of somebody, you can do it in an instant. And you can do it quick. But God put me in the presence of a man that wasn't trying to discourage a call, but he's trying to grow and develop that call and try to see it come into fruition. And so he would take me by the hand and he would say, you're going to be mightily used of God one of these days. And then again, just like Brother Pugh, he would say, you're going to out-preach me. You're going to out-pray me. You're going to preach sermons in your time that is going to be powerful. And he would say it, and he would mean it, and you could feel it. And then he said, I make this commitment to you that you will never have to leave this church. I will send you. He said, when God gets ready for you and it's time to go, you're not going to have to leave. I'm going to send you. What we need in this movement more than anything else is a revival of sending. We need a sending revival. We need young men and women that will answer the call, that will be willing to serve. And I am absolutely convinced that God is going to use a younger generation than He's ever used. And He's ready to rise up that generation right now. You are the generation upon whom the ends of the earth have come. And I am absolutely convinced that God has saved His best for right now. And you are that generation. Would you just put your hand right here on over your heart and say, I am that generation. I am that soul winner. I am that prayer warrior. I am that church planter. I am that preacher of the gospel. If God calls me to do anything, I'll do it. If he wants me to do it, I'll do it. I am that prayer warrior. Would you say that? I am that prayer warrior. I will fast. I will pray. I will teach Bible studies. I'm going to make an impact in my world. I'm going to catch on fire in this camp meeting. I'm going to repent about the past. I'm putting the past behind me. I just feel like telling somebody it doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. But what matters is you'll let Him wash you and cleanse you and forgive you and make up your mind. I'm going to do something for Him. And Lord, I'm going to be used and useful in Your kingdom. I mean, He's ready to be useful in His kingdom. Brother Mangan, when I think of the statistics of young blood that has won and purchased the democracy that we love and appreciate today, when you think of it, it's 18 to 24-year-old men and women that give their lives for the freedom that we love and enjoy. And somehow we have in our mind, but when we look back in biblical history, this is what I want to tell you, young people. You are the generation upon whom the ends of the earth have come. And a lot of great men and women in the last 3 years, there's no telling how many greats in Pentecost that we have put in the ground. But I want to tell you the greatest days of the United Pentecostal Church are not over. God's just waiting for you to step up and take your place. God wants to utilize you. I'm not saying you'll get there, man. God's going to give you a special anointing for just you. But God's always going to have a church. God's always going to have a people. And this church is not going down. It's going up. And there can't be a revival of sending if we don't have young people stepping up to answer the call. We've got to have young people that are hungry to do something for God and anxious to do something for God. And what I feel to do right here, right now, is tell you that feeling of inferiority and I'm not good enough and God could never use you. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm saying give Him everything you have. Give Him your hands. Give Him your feet. Give Him your emotions. Give Him every part of your life. And God will guide you into that anointing that He has placed upon you. And do you stay subject to that shepherd? And don't ever leave. He'll send you. And I believe that there's going to be a revival of sending. And let me tell you how supernatural it was in our life. Brother Foss called us in the fifth year and he said, "Honey, come to the office." He said, "It's time for you to go." I said, "Go?" I'm thinking, am I terminated? And thank God it wasn't a termination. He said, "God's ready to use you on the evangelistic field." And he said, "That day is now." And he said, "In 2 weeks," he said, "I want you to start evangelizing." I said, "Where will I go?" He said, "The Lord will send you." I walked out of the office, Brother Mangan, went across the street to the trailer, walked in that door, and the phone was ringing. And it was Tom Foster saying, "Is this Nathan Scoggins? I need an evangelist." Here's what I've got to say, Alaska. Young people, you be sensitive to the call of God. You get hungry to do something for God. You get on fire to do something for God. You just pray and you fast. Somebody said, "Well, what if He won't send me?" You pray and fast, and if God wants you sent, you'll be sent in Jesus' name. They'll throw you out of the church. You can pray and fast your way into the will of God. But you know what? That's not going to be a problem because the men of God in Alaska are going to send. Because we are going to be a part of a sending revival. And listen, I'll never forget Merle Ewing several years ago. I was talking to him about Launcher Ministry and he went up to headquarters with me. And he said, "Bubba, who wouldn't want to be a part of something like this?" He said, "Bubba, the giving end of the hose will never want for water." Could it be that all your church needs to have an explosive, powerful harvest revival is sending one son or one daughter? It may be in Texas. I have no one to lose. But I want to tell you, when God moved upon me to start teaching every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock advance ministry training, it was amazing. In just 10 short years, we sent out 12 couples into full-time ministry. But every time we would send one, Brother Mangan, God would give us two more to start working with. He'd give us three more to start working with. And I would tell some of those young men that were there seated every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, some of the same words: "You're going to outpray me. You're going to outpreach me." Not discouragement. Not trying to talk them out of a call. Some of them would come with tears in their eyes. "I feel like God wants to use me in ministry. I feel like building a church. I feel like pastoring one day." And I said, "You will pastor one day. And God's going to use you." And I You would think, well, Pastor, if I do that, if I give them that much longitude, then suddenly it will backfire. But they begin to come and pick up my car and wash it. They begin to come and mow my grass, and I didn't ask them to come and mow it. They wanted to shine my shoes. I was so amazed at how people want to serve. They want to be involved. They want to be a part. And one thing that I didn't say about my time in Bethel was those times that Brother Foss was willing to let me be by his side. And I'll say I'm for every program and every approach that we take, but let me tell you, there is nothing that can take the place of being with that man of God and being with those young men and women that we want to see God use and impact and do a work with if we don't touch them. And I will say that the whole time I was there, Brother Pugh was always pulling us into his presence, and Brother Foss was always pulling us into his presence. As a matter of fact, he said, I don't want to be with the old people of the church. He said all they want to talk about is tombstones and burial plots and getting funeral arrangements. He said, I want to be around life. I want to be around vision. I want to be around purpose. I want to be around people that want to do something for God. And so when we went out to the restaurant, Brother Blackshear, there was about 20 young couples always around him. And we had a revival of sending there. Many of those men actually spoke at his funeral. And a tribute to a man who was not only a shepherd, but a father. And that's what Paul said. He said, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you have not many fathers. He said, therefore have I sent my beloved Timotheus. I've sent my son in the gospel. There are a lot of people that are concerned about the direction we're going or headed. And I say the answer, if you're really concerned, then put a son and a daughter on every street corner. Fill every parish, every county with an apostolic voice. I can see it. I can feel it. I am absolutely convinced that God is going to do it. This is the day. This is our hour. This is our time. Don't despise small things. Don't despise how you feel right now. Would you just stand with me for a moment and lift up your hands and say, God, I give you my inferiority. I give you any complex. I give you anything that would come in between me and you. Here I am, Lord. I want to be used by you. I want to make an impact in your kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. You may say, well, you know, it's easy if you have a larger church to consider doing that. But I do know that it was Brother David Bernard, who is now our general superintendent. But if I could point out something that I think is very important to all of us here today, is when he went to Austin, Texas, there was only 8 of them there. He started a home missions work. He didn't wait until he got 300 to start growing and developing people. In fact, Brother Pugh did it like this every Sunday at 5 o'clock. We did it Sunday at 8 a.m. in the morning. But Brother Bernard did it every Tuesday evening. He wanted to meet with people in his church that wanted to be involved in advanced ministry. He said, I did it when I was 50, and I did it when I was 100, and I did it every Tuesday night when I was 250, and then 300, and then 500. He kept meeting with people. And I asked him, I said, Brother Bernard, did you develop or write your own book? because Brother Bernard could have wrote curriculum if he wanted new curriculum. But he took David Reaver's book, So You Want to Be a Preacher. And he said the important thing was I was meeting with them. And I was affirming them. And I was speaking into their life. And 16 short years later, he had licensed 56 men and women to the United Pentecostal Church. I said, Brother Bernard, how did you do that? He said, on purpose. You don't do that on accident. You do it absolutely on purpose. And so he invited everyone who wanted to be trained in advanced ministry. He said, the key, Brother Scoggins, was full activation of every saint in a ministry in the local church. Thus, a culture was created. Suddenly, people were fasting and praying and catching the vision of the pastor, seeing where the church was moving, and then in that culture, God began to call. I want you, and you, and you, and you. And then he said, I sent them 16 daughter works and 56 licensed men and women in 16 years. On purpose. What would happen if every pastor in this district could catch that vision and say, for the next or the rest of our ministry, I will spend time investing in the lives and the souls once a week. Once a week. And then they had other ministries developed within the church where they could be placed and so forth and so on. And so Brother Bernard said, launch your ministry is the vehicle that I have chosen as general superintendent to run on for growing ministry and recruitment, training, and development of future ministry within the United Pentecostal Church. If we don't license them, the numbers never change. But I am absolutely convinced that if our entire organization could catch this vision, and God really could give us that revival of sending, we could see an army of men and women that were qualified, skilled, that we could trust. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid. That's the problem. We don't need to fear the future that God has given us. We don't need to fear it. In fact, I come against every spirit of fear. Even Jesus had a Judas. And so they may not all, but what about the 10 or the 11 or the one that does? Reminds me of the story that Brother Pugh told us years ago. Actually, somebody said it on his behalf. And the story was that the evangelist had prayed and fasted. He had prayed over 7 days that God would give him a breakthrough in that revival. And he said, I think I'm going to quit. And the pastor said, why? He said, I'm so discouraged. He said, I've never prayed more than what I prayed in this revival. I've never fasted more than what I fasted in this revival. He said, but we only had one teenager receive the Holy Ghost. Just one. And his name was J.T. Pugh. I want to tell you, Alaska, one person, one young lady, one man, one vessel that God could raise up that could make an impact in this movement like eye has not seen and ear has not heard. And this is our hour and this is our day. God wants to use us like we've never been used before. And so I'm here today to tell you that Launcher Ministry is the vehicle that Brother Menard has chosen. And if you go to www.launcherministry.com, you will see video after video that is full of a teaching series that is up there right now that a pastor can download and show that to students if he wants. Or he can, in just 6 more months, there will be over 108 videos, and you'll be able to watch them. We did some filming during our last conference meeting, and Brother Mangan came in and talked about the three ingredients of apostolic revival. And every man in there, while that was being filmed, began to weep, sob, cry as we were impacted. And these videos, I believe you had Raymond Woodward last year at camp, and men like that are on these training videos. They're talking about the will of God. They're talking about soul winning, about prayer, about evangelizing, about being loyal to your pastor, about not leaving, being sent. These kind of messages are in there to make sure that we don't create this monster. We don't want people to leave churches. We want them to be sent. We don't want anybody leaving. In fact, I want to say that again on purpose. Don't ever leave. Let your pastor send you. And I believe that he will. And we are, we're putting more and more material up there. And there's curriculums that are being designed. And a book that is going to be written. And so there's going to be all kinds of tools that you can utilize. So I think the simple concept, so many times we make it more difficult than it really is. And some have said, well, what is Launcher Ministry? Is it just a place where I can go and get training tools? But it's more than that. It's a concept. It's a willingness as a man of God to understand that if we are going to be the end time church that God wants us to be, that we are in desperate need of laborers. And he said, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. And so that is what we're talking about today, a revival of sending. Would you stand just a moment? So every pastor that is here today will be here for the rest of the week. And if you have any questions or would like to talk about curriculum or talk about approaches, Brother Bernard said all he did was met with this group once a week. And can you imagine, catch this vision, what if every pastor in the United Pentecostal Church said, I will join with the vision of my general superintendent. If every district said, we're gonna catch the vision of Launcher Ministry, and once a week, I'm going to meet with advanced ministry group in my church. And I'm going to start speaking into their life, pouring into their life, blessing them and believing in them. What do you think could happen in the next 3 or 4 years at a National Youth Congress when suddenly this revival of sending among our pastors is set? We understand that we need a revival of sending. And then we make a clarion call for those that want to be involved at a National Youth Congress. Can you see the impact of what could happen? Brother Merle Ewing, we went to his house and we gave this to several men. And it would have been about 1 year before he passed. And he burst into speaking in tongues and gave a prophetic utterance, and he said, I see it! I see it! I see it! And it shall come to pass. He said, I see fathers all over the United Pentecostal Church coming and presenting their sons and daughters and making them available for ministry work. And I see an expansion of God's kingdom. I see a great fire of the Holy Ghost being poured out from one corner to the other corner of the entire world. And then I will come, saith the Lord. And the power of the Holy Ghost moved in there. And so it's not a revival of leaving. It's a revival of sending. Can we lift our hands just for a moment? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel like this would be very important to say this before I hand the mic back to Brother Parrish, but I think it would be very important. Not everybody that God calls will leave. God may raise up your successor like a Terry Shock, and he will never leave. But there's going to be others, Pastor, that God will tell you they need to go. And when you send them, there is going to be an anointing upon their ministry, and there's going to be an anointing upon your ministry and a blessing. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Parrish, today.
Thank you, Brother Scoggins. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Would you be seated for just a moment, please? This has been absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Amen. And I hope that you've listened to all of it, especially what the Lord has spoken to your heart about. Because I believe that you are here in this building today to hear this message for a purpose. God is able to speak to every individual, not just a chosen few, every individual that is sitting here today. This has been absolutely wonderful. I do believe we all have a ministry. We know that everyone does not necessarily have a pulpit ministry, and a lot of that's going to be addressed tomorrow from 10 till 11. Brother Scoggins is going to be back with us again, and we want to encourage you to bring others into the service tomorrow morning. It's going to be a great time. Just to comment a little bit, I can't remember how long ago we started in our church. Every Thursday night we have MIT class, Ministers in Training, every Thursday night. And we started out with a group of young people that we said were between the years of 16 and 22 years of age. That's not set in concrete. It's open to anyone. But we're focusing on those young people that we feel that God wants to do something with. And I believe every one of them except one is here at this camp meeting today. It's one of the most exciting things that we've ever done in our church. And as far as resources, I have gone to the videos that are available on the website. And the way that I use those is I will listen to them and make my own outline. And talk about the things that are from that lesson that are relative to the group that I'm talking to. Now, you can do that, or you can actually play those on your screen at church. You can use that. I use John Maxwell, some of our writers, Brother David Bernard. I'll pull lessons from leadership books. We talk about anything that has to do with leadership and ministry. But the most important thing, like Brother Scoggins has mentioned today, pastors, the most important thing you can do, it is not really the content of what you give those people that are in your leadership class, but it's the fact that you are there touching them and you're giving yourself access to them. And they will glean from that, and they will grow from that. But it's imperative that we open doors of ministry for our people. As Brother Scoggins has mentioned today, that generation that has grown up, it's easy to discourage them. The drive that we're doing today to reach ministers is not to create ministers out of people that aren't called to ministry, but it's to open the door to acknowledge the calling that people have and encourage that calling and open doors for that ministry. And a very important principle that Brother Scoggins has mentioned here today is that none of us want to leave people. None of us have enough people in our church. We're all right on the border of paying the bills, and it'll always be that way no matter how many people you have. But none of us can afford to lose people out of our church, but it's a biblical, spiritual principle. When we send people out, when we acknowledge ministries and send people out, God always brings in. You know, it's that thing, give and you'll receive, lose and you'll get. That's the biblical principle. Thank you so much, Brother Scoggins, for this today.